Hey, this is Jeremy from Kiwi Junior, and you're listening to CITR.
Look a look yonder. Look a look yonder.
Hey, come chill with us at Sound Therapy.
To live music performed by local stars like Addy Wolf, Gleisha, Seikani, Athena's Moon, Lorikei's Dream, and other amazing artists. Dance to summery sets by DJ Natsu, Business Bacha, Have You with a J, Iha, and more. Find us in a colorful tent on the lot beside the James Black Gallery from August 18th to the 21st, and over Zoom on August 24th for our live stream showcase. There's lots of seating in the front yard, backyard, and under our tent. We'll be barbecuing it up on Saturday. Festival passes come with one free Kickstarter juice from the juice truck. Sliding scale passes are set aside for two-spirit, queer, trans, BIPOC, and low-income folks. Your pass purchase also supports our free trauma-informed virtual workshop for sexual assault domestic violence survivors. More info can be found at linktree.com/sound_therapy.wave, linktr.ee/sound_therapy.wav.
But okay, your middle name is Macho. But I'm wondering if you ever cry. You ever has Macho Man ever cried?
Yeah. Really? It's okay for Macho Men to show every emotion available, right there. You know, because I've cried 1,000 times, I'm gonna cry some more. But I've soared with the eagles and I've slithered with the snakes and I've been everywhere in between. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. There's one guarantee in life, and that there are no guarantees. Yeah. And Mm-hmm. I understand this. Yeah. Nobody likes a quitter. Nobody said life was easy. So if you get knocked down, take the standing eight count, get back up and fight again. And you're a macho maniac. Dig it.
Okay, your middle name is Macho. But I'm wondering if you have a question.
Yo, you tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, the only radio station worth listening to. You just tuned in to Crimes and Treasons. Welcome. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we do this every Tuesday night from 10 to 11. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish People's Territory, and we do the land acknowledgement, not just as a requirement, but as a reminder that this land has had a tremendous amount of history, prehistory, ancient history, present history, future history that exists from the peoples who have lived here for, hundreds, thousands of years. And so the announcements to remember that. I find that sometimes it can feel a little bit hollow, you know, and I personally, even saying, you know, all that stuff, it still feels a little hollow, but I don't want to feel like that, you know, and so I don't want you to feel like that. You come to the show, you want to listen, you want to tune in, you want to feel good, you know, like that. You don't want to just we don't want to just say words on the show just to say words. It's not the type of things that we do here. But the types of things that we do here. Listen, if this is your first time tuning in to Off the Beaten Path, welcome. What we like to do here, sometimes we have some guests on. Sometimes we have, it's just me. Sometimes I'm fortunate to have some really, really smart people around me. And, you know, I just try to connect the dots a lot of times between ideas and people. And to do that, you got to have a lot of dots. And I'm fortunate to have a lot of people in my life who are smart and, you know, like talking to me and like sharing what they know. So sometimes they'll be here with me in the studio. Sometimes they'll be on the phone. You know, sometimes they'll just be here in spirit and me just sharing their ideas. If you want to be a friend, you want to come share your ideas. Listen, you're welcome to call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you have a hard time remembering numbers, because sometimes letters is a little bit easier. And listen, you're going to call in. You want to share some, you know, everybody's got a little bit to teach, right? You know, and you want to share some information? You're welcome to do that. But on the show, from my perspective, what we do is we just talk about what's going on here in the mainland, what's going on here, you know, in the province, and what's going on here Canada-wide, worldwide. What are some funny stories? You know, like, I feel like the news is so heavy sometimes. The reality can be so heavy. I have so many friends who, like, work in industries that are dedicated to helping people and dedicated to making the world better. And it's stressful. It's stressful for them. I don't know. Like, I have so many friends who work in that type of restorative work for others, and they get burnt out so quick. You know, it's sad the ways that in which that we treat care workers and, you know, people who are caring for things that we never even see. You know, and it's sad. So, you know, if people come here, the world reality is fucked up, and, you know, we're here just trying to just make it a little bit easier. So this story, of course, we talk about serious things. We talk about, you know, what's going on here in Vancouver, but we also talk about some funny stuff. There is a lot of funny things and some things that are serious, but also it's more serious in a way that, you know, we'll try to find the jokes in it. What we like to do here is we just start off, you know, with what's going on here in Vancouver. It's been hot outside. We like to start off with the weather sometimes, but it is what it is. Like, you see the weather, you've been outside, it's hot. You know, it's hot. You know, we're trying to figure out in this heat warning. I was talking to a friend who lives out in D.C. the other day, and she was saying that as soon as August comes around, summer's over. And I'm like, listen, we're squeezing out about 6 more weeks of summer. Listen, if I hear one person, I mean, including myself, so maybe 2 people complain about how hot it is, I wish that if you complain about how hot it is in the summertime, then come wintertime, like your winter should be extended by the amount of days you complained before summer's over. So if you complain about it being too hot right now in August, they should extend your winter, you know, in March. It should be like the groundhog. Like, you don't appreciate summer enough, so we're going to extend your winter. I think that that would be like a fair punishment for some people, because it's supposed to be 29 tomorrow, 30 tomorrow on Thursday, 23 on Friday, and then 25 throughout the weekend. It's going to be hot. It feels pretty good, so enjoy it. Feels like 35 tomorrow. Make sure you drink some water. You know, it should be nice outside, so make sure you get out this weekend and enjoy it, because we don't have that many more weekends, and the sun is clearly setting a little bit sooner, and so, you know, the days are getting shorter, so let's make sure that you enjoy it so that I don't have to call you a hypocrite when you're complaining about the weather come November, December, January, February, March, April. When we get back from this short musical break, going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in BC. There's some crazy ass stories going on, and I think that you're going to want to know about them. So when we get back, stay tuned. I got so much good music for you as well. Oh yeah, that's another thing we do here, is we play music. And I got so much good music. I've been listening to a lot of like very dreamy type of pop music. And I realized that one of the songs I was listening to, the girl was like, I can't wait till I grow up and be 23. And I was like, what type of music am I listening to? So I had to change. But listen, we get an electric sound here, so stay tuned.
Never thought I'd see 40, I hope this 40 to go. My dad tomorrow, who knows? Your mama says you was grown, was trying to buy you new clothes. At Bodie, knowing you probably grow out and show they new feet. Them daddy shoes was oversized, grew in the womb quick. The deepest blue when daddy died, the ocean was jealous. I'm trying to be around a little longer than my father and my father's father. Why even bother? If time is water, you ankle deep. Elmo floaties, bubbles of life uncertain. I'm drifting off to the falls. I struggle to fight the current, wishing that I could pause. God, let me borrow that universal remote. With no rehearsal, they wrote a whole verse. That's the earth we get served. With no regrets, with no shoes or no shirt. And that's birth. I never meant to make the thing hurt. But what's worse, we never meet at all. Never know.
When we escape to the beach, watching the waves crash, just you and me.
I love you more than you know. summertime planting seeds.
You and me planting seeds. You and me.
Waiting to see our garden bloom.
See our garden bloom.
In the spring. Oh, I love you more than you.
Back tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, CITR.ca. Listen, tell a friend to tune in because from 10 to 11, you just need to wind down. Listen, turn the fucking TV off. You know, go turn the dial on your radio. Put some Off the Beaten Path on. Put some, you know, just kind of wind down your night. Treat yourself to living a little bit slower, listening to the radio, you know, you'll learn so many different things. Learn so many different things. Like, maybe you should keep your ass in the house because there is one wolf that's still at large after wolves escape in a suspicious incident, says the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Intent seemingly suspicious and believed to be with malicious intent, somebody let the wolves out. Basically, so if you don't know, the Greater Vancouver Zoo is located in Alder Grove near Langley and asked for help recapturing wolves that had escaped their enclosure. Basically, that the wolves are gone and they've captured a small number of the remaining wolves, but there still seems to be some that are can be found. And how would they be found? You know, I mean, that's like a question. It's like, listen, these wolves are made to not be found. They're wolves. Like, they shouldn't be in the zoo anyways. They should be roaming in the streets. Now, this is like one of those situations where I talk a lot of shit, right? So I talk a lot like where it's like, yeah, you know, if an animal comes up and it approaches me and the animal gets me, right? You know, I just have to relinquish it. Like, I mean, I'm going to fight, but like if the animal kills me, I'm just going to understand that, like, damn, I just died, you know, like to an animal. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that. But here's the thing. Wolves are kind of scary. Like, I'm not scared of dogs, but I'm not scared of dogs, but you've been around a dog that you're scared of. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, you know that some dogs are just not to be messed with. And that's how I feel about all wolves. The problem is, I don't want to mess with wolves, but do the wolves know that? And how can I communicate with that to them? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm not part of the wolf. You know, I don't feel like I've got wolf lineage in me. You know what I mean? Like, if I feel like if you took it back, you know, to my, yeah, I feel like wolves don't come from where people, the places where my people come from. You know, that's not, it's not the type of animals we connected to, you know. And so a little terrifies me a little bit. But also, it leaves me great. One, it's all the way in Langley, so poor wolf, you know. I don't like spending time with Langley. I can't imagine that the wolf would either. And also, too, is that there's a lot of small dogs and cats in between me and Langley. And I feel like very confident that as 225 pounds, I'm like, listen, I just sometimes just feel like maybe I'm just a little too big to be worried about a wolf. And I say that, but I'm going backpacking this weekend. And, you know, and it's one of those things that you got to think about. Because there's wolves and bears and all types of stuff out in those woods. And I've said it enough times that, like, principally, like, if I get killed by an animal, people are going to be looking to see how and judging me accordingly. And I don't mind being judged posthumously because I'm already dead. Like, fuck it, you know, go ahead. But also, I like to think I'm a person of principles, and so I would like to. Yeah. Anyways, don't even think about it. There's a wolf out, and make sure you protect yourself when you're going outside. And then on some other light news, what's going on? So a Little Mountain team has advanced to the Little League World Series. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a baseball tournament for 12-year-olds out in Oklahoma. And as I coach little kids, so you know, if you little kid, you might be listening to the show. I'm your coach. Maybe your son or daughter has played on the team that I coached. Yeah, so you know, I love supporting the kids. I love supporting the kids, and it's nice to see. You know, like, I'm not Canadian, but like, it's nice to see, like, oh yeah, the little team from little old Canada, you know, made it all the way to Oklahoma. You know, it's like, they can do it. Anybody can do it. I've got that type of spirit, you know. And so it's nice to see teams from BC making it, though. I hope they do well, and I hope they wish them much success, you know. Moving on. Before we get into some of the serious news, a rare Nazca booby bird sighting near Vancouver Island leaves captain whale watchers amazed. Now, I was reading this article, and like the immature boy was, as I said, oh, Nazca, a booby bird, leaves whale watchers amazed. And I was like, damn, why do they call it a booby bird? Like, does this bird have boobs? And I I could understand why you were like, Issa, that is such a sophomore. But also, what is so amazing about this bird that leaves people amazed? So I had to read the article and do a little bit of investigating on the booby bird. And what I found out is that, one, obviously the bird doesn't have boobs. Only a pervert would think so. And two, the bird is native to the East Pacific around Central America. So this bird is in the wrong spot. And so there was Tassil Shaw, who is the boat captain. She says that this is a highlight of her birding career. Over 14-year birding career, and this is the highlight, seeing this booby bird in the wrong place. And I'm like, shouldn't that make you nervous? Like, for me, I think, wow, this rare bird has only been sighted in BC 3 times in history, and there's one here now. While this, yes, may be amazing, kinda, isn't there something wrong? Like, aren't we already worried about climate change, and then we just see a bird changing behavior to the rising, potentially reacting to the rising heat? But no, just amazed by this boobless bird. I wish birds came in like different kind of, they come in different colors, but I wish they came in like different, I wish they looked a little bit different. Like, all birds kind of look the same. They might taste different, but they look the same. Like, if this lady, I'm not amazed until, honestly, birds can't amaze me. I say this while like taking a picture of every single bald eagle I've ever seen in my life. Like, I need to get my camera out whenever I see one. So, I mean, I guess they do. Makes me a little bit hypocrite. But anyways, you know, I'm like, I wish birds came in different forms. Like, I wish there was birds with 4 wings. You know what I mean? I wish there were birds with, you know, 4 legs. We have birds that can't fly. It's interesting, but those birds are scary. So, trade-offs. Anyways, when we get back, we're going to be talking about something that else is in the wrong place. And not only how people are not talking about it, but also sometimes it leaves me the question of, like, what actually can we do about it? when we get back.
Coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'd like to call in the number 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So if you haven't been aware, there's a sinking fishing boat that has leaked over 10,000 gallons of Diesel into the Salish Sea, very close to where, like a feeding areas where orcas feed. And the environmentalists who are working on this scene have said that it's going to be nearly impossible to clean up. And that is just like a reality that we just have to live with, that our waters and our coastline and our everything is just moments away from being poison to not only us, but to the other creatures in the world. And it is, sometimes I think about it and I get kind of sad because I think about like what we have is all we got, you know? And so it only takes one person, you know, one organization, one, you know, a few people making a decision to kind of ruin it, right? And so, and especially because we think about what are we ruining it for? You know, it's not as if we are using these things, you know, it's like we just want a little bit of extra, you know, want a new phone case or you want some clothes or you want some better wicking material or, you know, we could do without, you know, for thousands of years people did without. Like I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, wow, there wasn't always shoelaces on shoes. And so, you know, somebody invented that. And so we can think about better ways. Like that was somebody who was like, wow, my shoes keep falling off. I need to do something about this. So they made shoelaces, they invented them, you know? And so I think we need to think about better ways because this problem is so big, like environmentalists, these people are saying there's nothing you can do. Cleaning up is impossible. So then we just have to hope that the whales who we can't communicate with, we don't even understand how they communicate. We just hope that we can just like, they can just kind of feel like, that water over there is kind of icky. Let's go somewhere else. We can't tell them that, you know, we just have to leave them to figure it out for themselves. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad when you think about it. And also one thing I was thinking about, so cause me, like I said, I was being like a very good white woman last week and I read Braiding Sweetgrass. And one of the things that, you know, there's a passage in there talking about this lake in New York, upstate New York. And you think, I mean, there's obviously places right now where that, you know, that lack what I would say, you know, is a type of modern plumbing system. And so there was at one time, maybe not even too long ago, there were waterways, rivers and estuaries and wetlands and marshes and bogs that you could just drink the water out of, you know what I mean? That the water just came fresh. And there's still lots of places, except for now they sell it to us when it just used to just be free. Like that was just our water. Like we all, that was all of our water. And now it's just not like that. You just can't go out and just go drink some water because somebody somewhere has dumped some shit in it. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that still happens today. So, you know, if you are, you know, a conservationist or if you think about those types of things, you know, it's very interesting. I find that there's a lot of people who are doing some type of healing for themselves or trying to think about different ways to heal the planet. And, you know, and I applaud them. I also feel like there's a lot of charlatans around and a lot of people just knowing the right answers. And the right answers just don't have to be the right answers in totality, but the right answers for your group. And be always questioning whether you're thinking about this in a good perspective, you know, because that's how you get off onto a tangent in the show. Because I was going to go someplace else, but, you know, I feel like it's enough. We need to know about the things that are happening in BC, and that's about it. You know, sometimes needs to know my thoughts, because there's a lot of scammers out here. Honestly, that's basically what this comes down to, is there's people who are out here scamming holistically, and it kind of makes me upset. Almost makes me upset as the P&E saying no to this donut vendor. Like, I've never even been to the P&E, but now that these donuts are not there, definitely not going. I heard they don't even have funnel cake there. Listen, if you work at the P&E and you listen to this radio show, invite me out there. I'll do a review. I want to know what is going on with the P&E food, and why are not these people's beloved donuts going to be allowed to be there? Like, I feel like the P&E shouldn't have any even type of limits on vendors. I'm sure they got so much trash food in there. Like, if I go into the P&E, matter of fact, I'm going to go into P&E on Friday night. If you listen to the show, go into the P&E. And if I don't see a corn dog there, I'm going to be kind of upset. So if you're listening, listen, we'll get the whole Off the Beaten Path squad to make sure that there are proper food. And if not, we're going to get this donut vendor back. Unless I Googled this donut vendor and he said the N-word with the hard R. Or even A, I'd be questioning him. But I'm definitely going to check it out. Anyways. When we get back, I just got some funny stories, honestly. I'm kind of tired of talking about sad stories. Like, I had, like, a whole list of lineups of stories that came up. You know, and I say, when I say sad stories, I'm not tired of talking about them. Just kind of tired of beating them on the point, because sometimes it's like, damn, what are we supposed to do? Like, last week, it was really nice to have Goddess Fitzy on here to talk about, you know, what are some of the things that are going on in the downtown east side? Like, there's still people who are getting, you know, their homes taken down by the police in the city. And the question is still, where are they going to go? You know, we've had 10,000 overdoses in the past 5 years. And the question is, like, what is actually being done? Like, you know, I had to do a lot of research because I wanted to understand a little bit about, you know, just what's going on in the city and how, just kind of like, what is actually being done and what is actually helping. And so there are a numerous amount of programs, especially that we hear a lot about them, hear much more about them than there actually are. So, like, about, like, safe spaces to do drugs, like safe injection sites and places to get clean drugs and to test your drugs. I feel like that's something that we hear about all the time, especially in, like, my friend group. You know, I've got a lot of friends who go to different types of festivals, and so people are always talking about how the drug culture there is safe, and, you know, people have the ability to test their drugs, and that might be true. And so we see that as visible, you know, spaces for kind of well-to-do, you know, rather yuppie-ish people who are able to pay for a ticket that has, you know, that allows people to have those types of things at those events, which is good, which is great. But for the people who are out in the streets, like, that's not actually helping, and they don't have that many sites. And those sites, I guess, are only limited to intravenous drugs, not smoking drugs, which is what's killing a lot of people. So smoking and snoring, just learned this, killing 80% of the people who die from drug overdoses. And I am familiar with, you know, that it's not just addicts, you know, people who... It's not just people who have been forgotten or have society turned their back on them that are dying. You know, it's everyday people. People all from all different walks of life are dying because of the crises that we're living in, and it's only been exacerbated by the fact that we're not doing anything. Anyways, I also saw a story that was linked to, have we been treating depression wrong the whole time? And it's like, fucking of course. I see articles like that all the time at CBC. It's like, of course. Duh. We don't want to address anything. But when we get back, funny stories, because there is some shenanigans going on by some of your favorite companies. And you should know about them.
Obviously, you're already over me.
back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 and .citr. So, Amazon Ring, and you guys know what that is, you know. Amazon Ring is a device that attaches to people's doorknob that allows people, you know, allows you to be able to see what's going on inside your house. Anyways, Amazon Ring and MGM, the studio that Amazon bought, is set to launch a show that's kind of like Ridiculousness or America's Funniest Home Videos on the platform. And this is just, for me, one of those things that we're at the tipping point and we're about to go over. Amazon has, over in the last year, has given 15 times has given video to the police without the consent or knowledge of the user, of the owner. And so what that means is that, like, basically we are turning ourselves into the police by allowing Amazon Ring to, like, have a presence on your porch. And, you know, and then I see this, like, America's Next Funniest Home Videos as one. It's just terrible. Because as you hear about all of these studios closing and making these good shows, and, you know, and I've watched so much good TV. I mean, I feel like I've watched a lot of TV recently, but I've watched so much good TV, so much good high quality, you know, storytelling, high quality content. And it's so good when things are done well. And these studios are just pumping money into these cheap reality shows. Like, you know, this show is not going to cost people shit. It's got Wanda Sykes, you know, hosting it. And I don't know if you've ever watched, if how many of you still watch MTV, but there's such a good article about how Ridiculousness took over MTV. And basically what you have right now on MTV is 18 hours straight of basically Ridiculousness. You're just watching people doing these videos all day. People watch it all day. People have it in the background all day. And so that's what's going to happen to Amazon, except for the fact that it's normalizing us to just, you know, to be okay. Like, maybe one day you could have, you know, a video on this, you know, Amazon Ring show, and it's like they got us, you know? They got us. It's over. It's over. We are turning ourselves into a police state, you know, like into the ability where people are just going to, people are just going to be out here just watching people's camera and just checking it out. Oh, man. It's sick. My mom has one of those cameras, and I find that, like she likes it. She likes to be able to watch who's coming in and out of the house. But I feel like there's a point. You get notifications, and it has to have some type of effect on that low-level vibration that you have, you know, when you are just trying to be, you know, and you just, but you're just like, well, let me just check to see what's going on, or the cat or the dog walked out, and the motion sensor, and you're checking and you're looking and you're just interrupting yourself, and you're not able to leave your front porch, but also you don't have to be there to never leave. One of the things that they tried to sell us that will help save everything is black capitalism. Like, if you're capitalism, period, but particularly for black people, like, you know, it's always pointed at the wealth gap. We're always pointed at, you know, these different metrics of wealth, or, you know, net income, or we're talking about housing or jobs or pay or something. And it's like, hey, you too can be a capitalist one day if you try hard enough. And you know who did try hard enough? Rick Ross. He tried so hard, he turned himself into a capitalist. I'll be sure that Rick Ross will own a sports team soon, you know, probably some type of industry. Five of Wingstops across Rick Ross's locations, however, have proven that Rick Ross is exactly who we imagined him to be. They had been hit with a few labor violations as they have back wages, and, you know, they've been making employees pay for uniforms illegally and just doing some other shady business deals, which is proof to me that, like, you know, you have to be out here scamming people to get ahead. You know, I was telling my girl, just telling her, like, listen, if we want to get ahead and kind of get the life that we want, we have to steal it from somebody else's future. And that's what capitalism is, stealing from somebody else's future. Listen, if we want to steal, you know, basically we're stealing from our grandkids' future by living the ways that we do, using the type of fossil fuels that we do. You know what I mean? I'm stealing from the future, my progeny, potential progeny. If I don't have kids, I'm not stealing from, not my kids, but yours, you know, your kids, you know, and all of the, if you think about just kind of what wage theft is, you know, the idea, obviously Rick Ross isn't going to jail. He just has to pay fines. That's the thing. You steal $20 from your job, they're locking your ass up. Your boss steals $20 from you, you got to wait 3 weeks to get it back, if they give it back at all. It's sick. Anyways, so basically Rick Ross is out here scamming people, man. And I feel bad because, like, how much money does somebody need? Like, do you really need to steal? Does Rick Ross need to steal $117,000 from his employees? This guy is so rich, he eats. He doesn't even use the alcohol packets at Wingstop when he's driving his Bentley. He's just like, bro, just get it cleaned. Doesn't make any sense. Anyways, another funny story. I always laugh at these stories because I think that another thing that, you know, maybe could happen to me, I wish it wouldn't, but, like, if it happened to me, it's one of those things where I'm just like, you know, I just got. A woman was arrested for allegedly drugging and stealing $50,000 in goods from a man she met at the bar. A North Carolina woman accused of drugging and robbing a Fort Lauderdale man out of more than $50,000 in jewelry and personal belongings has been arrested. She was arrested in Henderson, Nevada after she was pulled over driving with a suspended license and charged with one count of grand theft. The victim said he met her at a bar in Miami and took her home to his apartment where she stole watches, iPhones, cash, Rolex, all types of stuff. Anyways, I feel like if you, like, men, I have a lot of friends who, you know, I have so many friends. Like, what am I bragging about my friends? Bro, this is, it's kind of pathetic. I'm sorry about that. But, like, I've got a lot of friends that are dudes, you know, and, you know, single friends that talk about, oh, yeah, just, like, invited XYZ back to my house. And I'm like, oh, man, remember I used to do that. Just, like, bring, you know, like, invite strangers to your home. Like, that's insane. And, you know, so when I think about the stories, I'm like, yeah, think about it from a different perspective. Obviously, you know, I've had conversations with my women friends about this where it's like, yeah, guys are just inviting women over to their homes. Like, it's already in a, you know, a dangerous position. And then also guys just don't understand that they too are in a potentially dangerous position because you don't know this person either. But men are willing to, you know, for the potential of some pussy, they are willing to, you know, invite whoever, wherever, whenever into their home. And so I feel like if you bring a woman home from a bar, women should be able to steal at least, like, just, like, one time. Like, you know, get away with stealing one time before they send her to jail. It's like, hey, we understand. Can't let this happen again. But I feel like stealing from men should be all right. And then men should just be more careful about who they bring back in at home. Like, there should be some fear on both sides. Like, I don't think that the fear and the, you know, the fear should be from one side. I feel like we need to equal it out. And sometimes that means bending the rules a little bit. Okay, for the last story, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. So I was reading complex.com sometimes, and I read complex.com sometimes, and sometimes they have some crazy stories on here. So, like, and I think, like, man, I can't believe people get paid to write this bullshit. Tonessa Jones, you should be ashamed of yourself. So there's an article that says the 14 best celeb OnlyFans accounts and what you'll get with them. And I had to obviously look it up to see, like, one, who the fuck are they thinking are celebrities? And two, why do they think I would want to look at, you know, their OnlyFans? Because that's not what I'm on there for, looking at celebrities. It doesn't make any sense. Anyways. Number three on this list is DJ Khaled and Fat Joe. Now, if I was on my OnlyFans and scrolling through, and I saw Fat Joe and DJ Khaled, I would be disgusted. Imagine. No, don't even imagine. I can't even imagine what that would even look like. Like, what would be on there that would possibly make me want to go look at that? And why does Complex think I want to go look at that? Also, this person doesn't even write reviews for them. I'm like, Complex could have sprung the $5 for them to even just go look up these subscriptions to give it better reviews. The people that they picked, you're going to have to go. The only person that they picked on this list that I'm like, I wonder what goes on in their OnlyFans is Amber Rose. Because I feel like Ambrose probably got that heat. The other people that they put on this list, I'm like, bruh, why would I want to go and see what these people are talking about or doing or showing? So many other people. I'm like, anyways, doesn't make any sense. For the last, I lied, this is not the last story, this is the last story, because this is one of the things that I find to be one of the most embarrassing things on the planet, but also this is horribly sad. A South Carolina woman dies after being impaled by a loose beach umbrella blowing in the wind. Now, I've been at the beach, you've been at the beach, where your umbrella just gets lifted with the wind and it just gets blown away, and you got to go chase your umbrella. It's so embarrassing. I don't know why I find that to be so embarrassing. Now imagine your floating umbrella impaled someone and killed them. Not only is that embarrassing, but now you're a murderer. And I don't know if that's something that I could handle. Sad and very unfortunate. Like, just a way to go. Like, you see the umbrella coming down and you're stuck. Like, literally, you got stuck with the umbrella. I couldn't imagine anything worse than that. But I'm out of here. This is nice. It was nice to be with you. Thank you for sharing this. We do this every Tuesday. Next week, we'll have a guest for you. Stay tuned. We do this every week. Oh, and next week, we're unveiling a new logo because friend Simone made it, and it's amazing. Leave you out with some Masuego. We out.
I can make as many songs. Not a lady when I haven't been, but she on the air. Oh, come across fans and hoes, and I like to give my fans a rose. Curse of the talented, everywhere I go, they wanna change clothes and pose. But my wife be in my dreams, bruh, no, I couldn't see it. I saw a silhouette